It's good to be able to share again. We've been doing a series on the fear of God, and I'm going to continue to carry on that with a different aspect of this wonderful subject. And I think that this subject has been really strategic for us, and I think it's a very, very important thing for us to grasp and to understand. In terms of, I think that this, if we get this, this could be something that can transform our relationship with God, but also can transform the world, that God can do that through us. So the title of the message today is Fear God and Be Fearless. Are you ready? Fear God and be fearless. Because I think actually the only way that we can truly live in fearlessness or live bold for God is to fully understand the fear of God. And I think that that is a commission of the church. I think it's something that there's a calling upon every single Christian for us to be bold, to be fearless, to be courageous, to encourage one another to do that. And we're going to look at it. We're going to look at those scriptures so that what God does here in the community is for a purpose to send us out to be those people that turn the world upside down for the gospel. Are you ready to be those people? Yeah. That was the accusation that was leveled against the first believers. Wow, you're dangerous people. You're turning the world upside down. And that's the commission and the calling on the church, not just to blend in, not just to be lukewarm, not just to go with the flow, not just to be pathetic, but actually to have a calling and to stand up and say, this is what we believe. God has chosen us. God has called us. This is our mission. This is our vision. This is where we're going. We've got a message that we want to give to the world, not just, well, we'll just be the same as everybody else, believe the same as everybody else, not stand up for what we believe, and just shrink back when actually we're faced with challenges and trials. That isn't what God has got for us. And it's not what I see in the Bible when we see the New Testament church, and that they prayed for boldness. So sometimes it's good to pray for yourself, to pray that God will give you what you feel that you're lacking. That was the strategy of the first church, the New Testament church, that they prayed, I see this lacking. God, would you please help me and enable me? So I want to look at, we're going to go through in a moment Psalm 23, because I want to take mainly what I want to talk about from that very well-known psalm. But Psalm 96, verse 4, says, my able assistant at the back there, Anya, thank you. For great is the Lord, and most worthy of praise. He is to be feared above all gods. He is to be feared above all God. Yes, he's a God of grace. We've looked at that. Yes, he's the God of love. Yes, he's the God of mercy. All of those things, yes, 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 he is. But equally, as it says there, as it did say there, as it says there, that he is the God above all gods. And I think actually having that understanding, letting that really sink into our understanding is going to make us confident, powerful, and bold people of God. That is what the Lord has for us. And I think at any time in history, now the church needs to be those people. It needs to be a strong, powerful, united church to stand up in a changing world. Danny preached a great word a couple of weeks ago about the fear of God brings holiness and leads to holiness. And so I think this whole thing about the fear of God, there are so many different aspects that that we've been looking at, which is wonderful. But I think through looking at the fear of God, God wants to bring freedom in our lives, but he wants to bring confidence as well. So that as we fear God, we don't need to fear anything. As we fear God, we don't need to fear anything or anyone that comes against us. Can you see that? That we are getting the priorities right. First and foremost, we're going to fear God and not man. And I think this is such an important lesson for us. Because I believe God wants to release boldness into his people. He wants to release boldness into us. He certainly wants to release boldness into me. And I believe he wants to release boldness into us. Okay, so let's look at Psalm 23. We're just going to go through this, and I'm just going to share a few thoughts. But I also want us to look at the heart of this psalm, and I want to look at it as to why it was written as well, because it's such a well-known psalm. I don't want you to think, well, I know it, I've read it, and I understand it. I want us to just to pick up the heart, the spirit that God wants to bring out through this psalm this morning. So I just want to read through it from 1 to 6. It's great that it's not a massive long psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guards me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy, or love here, will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So first of all, I want you to, this is a picture of God leading his people, leading them in relationship, a God that is close, a God that is taking people on a journey. It's a picture also of people walking in right relationship with their God. And I think that's how God intends us to live. He intends us to live in right relationship to him, but knowing that wherever we go as Christians, God is with us. He's leading us. He's walking with us. And I tell you something, when you go into difficult situations and you're confronted by challenges, I tell you, it's amazing when you recognize the reality of God with you and you go into that thing, not alone, but you know that the Almighty God is on your side. I tell you, that brings boldness and confidence. But God wants to remind us of that we're not alone. Do you know that? That as Christians and as followers of Jesus, we're not alone. We're never alone. So the reaction for that is we will not fear. And so often fear can be a reality of our lives, can't it? If we're honest. Anxiety, fear of what ifs. And often actually that's a real strategy of the enemy, because I think 99% of what we worry about never happens as we think it's going to happen. Yet fear can be paralyzing. Yet the Bible says that the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, and that he is walking with us. And the result of that is so that we will not fear. But I tell you, I need a greater reality of that. And I'm sure many of us here need a greater reality and a reminding of actually God is with us and that he never, ever leaves us. We're going to unpack it a little bit more. But this scripture is a people talking about people with absolute confidence, absolute peace when they're facing even difficult situations. And life has a habit of throwing up difficulties and challenges and problems, doesn't it? We all face difficulties and problems and things that just seem impossible for God to do. Yet, when we trust in him, he comes through time and time and time again. Psalm 24, verse 4 says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. I will fear no evil. Isn't that a wonderful promise? For me, it sounds great news. That actually I don't need to be a person of fear, worry, anxiety, or whatever. I can go in and face situations knowing that God is with me, and his promise to me is that we will fear no evil. So when life seems overwhelming, when the job seems a struggle day after day, when we feel frustrated with life and the things that we're going through, do you know what our response should be? Not poor me, oh dear me. The response should be, and it can be, the Lord is my shepherd. I will not want. Are you getting, I think sometimes we need to change our responses to things. you know, there's this thing and there's that thing and there's this difficulty and there's that issue and there's this person is annoying me and there's this and that. Yes, okay. How better to respond to, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He is on my side. And if I need breakthrough, God's going to bring it for me. I'm not left on my own. I'm not just weak and pathetic. I've got God with me. That's boldness. So I want to say, go and be a difference. Go and be the difference. Be the difference in your workplace. Smile on a Monday morning when everybody else is miserable. Step into that office and just like, yeah. And people say, what's wrong with you? You say, well, I've got God with me. It's wonderful to be able to. When I was at work, I tried to do that as much as, not that I'm not at work now, but you know, when I used to go into the workplace, and it's wonderful to do that, because you've got something inside of you that unbelievers don't have. You've got Jesus. You've got the life of His Spirit. So when you are facing difficulties, watch what you're speaking out. Come on, guys. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Let's actually believe this stuff and apply it to our lives. So go and be the difference. Can you be the difference? Can you bring the fragrance of Jesus to the places where you work, or wherever you hang out? Okay, Ephesians 6, verse 18 and 19. This is Paul. He says, I'm praying in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayer requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keeping on praying for the saints. And then he says, pray also for me, that whenever I open my mouth, words may be given to me, so that I may fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel. Does it go on there, or is that it? That's the end. Okay. So imagine, this is Paul. And do you think that he lacked boldness? I mean, you imagine walking around with him, seeing what he did, experiencing his faith walk, seeing the obstacles that came across him, but yet he persevered. Yet he is the one that said, God, would you give me the boldness that I need to fearlessly preach and proclaim the message of the gospel? If he prayed and asked God, give me boldness, I think we could say, actually, that wouldn't be a bad prayer for us to pray. If he recognized that he needed boldness and he needed the empowering presence of God to give him boldness, how much more do I need to do that? How much more do we need to do that? And you know, the message of the gospel today might not be a popular message, but I tell you, it needs to be proclaimed. People need to hear the gospel, because there's no other way that people are going to come into relationship with Jesus than hearing the gospel. So whether it's popular or whether it's unpopular, or what, people need to hear the message of God's salvation. And he's going to do it through us. I mean, it'd be great if he sent an angel and he just did the work for us. But actually, God wants to use his church. He wants to use us. Acts chapter, are you still with me? Acts chapter 4. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform miraculous signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And after they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. So here, just imagine this. There's these new, the believers are there, and the apostles are there, and they've some of them have come out of prison, and they're meeting together, and they're praying, God, would you fill us with courage? Would you fill us with boldness so that we can go out into the world? We want to be filled with boldness so that we are not scared of people's opinions. We're not scared about what people are thinking. We want to proclaim that Jesus Christ is Lord, that is the way, the truth, and the life, and that no one comes to the Father except through him. They were praying for boldness. And you know what? As they were praying for boldness, something happened. They were prayed for boldness, and suddenly the place started to shake. The power and the presence of God came into that room in such a tangible, physical way that the windows and the doors and the walls and the floor all began to shake. And it wasn't just an earthquake, because God can just do an earthquake in a moment. It wasn't the fact of just the earth shaking. There was something that God was doing, and that he deposited into those believers so that they could be bold against the things that they were facing. So they could stand up and say, actually, we're not just going to blend in. We're not just going to go with the flow. We're not just going to believe this thing and that thing. But actually, we're going to follow the leading of God. We're going to stand up and not be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amazing. Do you believe that God could shake this place? Imagine that. Suddenly the place starts to shake because we're crying out to God, God, do something. Do something new. Do something in our hearts. Stir us up. God could do that. Do you have faith to believe it? I think God be something pretty awesome. Isn't it? Wow, it'd be amazing. Acts 4, verse 13. This is the work of the Spirit that God was doing in them. And it says, when they saw the courage of Peter and John and they realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished. Can you say astonished? They were astonished, and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. And the people were looking at these first believers and saying, wow, these people, they're not educated. They haven't been to seminary. They haven't been to this, but wow, we're astonished at the wisdom and the what we're seeing in those people. Fearlessness. They were astonished at what they saw. And so do you know that same mission calling plan that God had for the early church, it hasn't changed, has it? That same plan, purpose, that his desire to fill his people with that degree of boldness has not changed. He wants to do it to us as he did and desired and poured out his power onto those first believers. Why? Because we're called to go and preach the gospel, whether it is in Horsham or whether it's in wherever it is. We're called to be those that are sent ones with a message of the gospel, because it is the lifeline to this world. So, guys, you can't blend in. You can't just say, well, you know, we're just this and that. There is a calling, a high calling, a strong calling of God upon every single one of us. And every single one of you here, if you believe in Jesus, you're equipped, you're enabled, you're commissioned to go and do that. Nobody has been overlooked, or nobody is not needed. Every single person here needs to play their part if we're going to see the kingdom of God advance. Lives saved, transformation of the gospel happening in Horsham. Come on, Tunde. Yeah. So God wants to stir us up, encourage us. And it's good to have education, isn't it? It's good to have degrees. It's good to have doctorates. It's good to have all of these things. But there is something about ordinary men and women when their lives are surrendered to God and when they display boldness that is so amazing to see. So I'm not saying don't study and that those things are important, but there is something about the boldness and the fear of God that makes people astonished. I love that they were astonished. And you know what? You can be astonished in a good way or a bad way. Sometimes I've been with people and they've expressed an opinion or done something and I've been astonished in a negative way. Like, I can't believe you've done that. Or like, but equally, we can be astonished in a good way. You know what I mean? And let's be people that make other people astonished in a good way for our God. Not, actually, I'm astonished at your lack of commitment or your lack of being liberal or whatever it is. We don't want people to be astonished at us being negative. We want people to be astonished to say, I see something in them. That is going to drive me to want to give my life and to pour everything that I've got into the kingdom of God. Do you understand? We want people to be rightly astonished. Am I confusing you, or do you understand what I mean? Okay. Some people will look at me like, what? Like that? What's that? You're astonished. Yeah. We want to be people that are bold. When was the last time that somebody was astonished at your boldness? When was somebody astonished at my boldness as I stepped out? And this isn't, nobody's condemning any. There has to be a stirring of our heart because the time is short. Time is short. People need to hear the message of the gospel. It's so precious and priceless. Philippians 1 verse 27. Whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Then whether I come and see you or only hear about you in my absence, I will know that you stand firm in one spirit, contending as one man for the faith, without being frightened in any way by those who oppress you. This is a sign to them that they will be destroyed, but that you will be saved, and that by God. I think one of the things that can be assigned to other people is a people of unity that are fearless and are bold. It's a sign. I think it's one of the things that the first disciples prayed, give us boldness, because they wanted that to be a sign to the world around them. And there is something where there is a group of people that are so secure in their relationship with God and their calling in God that they will serve God and turn the world upside down. Even when we're facing difficult, trying, devastating situations, people will see in us a different response. The Lord is my shepherd. Yeah, but you're facing, the Lord is my shepherd. Yeah, but there's this thing, the Lord is my shepherd. I will not fear. Yeah, but this looks just totally and completely impossible and devastating. I will not fear. The Lord is my shepherd. He's walking with me. And my God that walks with me can never be overcome, can never be subdued. My God is with me. I tell you, you walk through life like that. And I'm not saying life's going to be easy, but I tell you, walking through that with that boldness and confidence that God is walking by you is going to enable you to see God do great things. And ultimately, it's all about him, isn't it? It's all about how good he is. And I think when we have that degree of confidence, when the attack comes, we are going to press in to God. And I think that boldness is going to enable us to do things that we never thought we were going to do. Are you ready to do things that you never thought that you could do? Are you ready to go and to go places and to actually go without because God's calling you to something greater? There may be countries that God may send you to that you thought you would never go to. I can't go to that place because I need injections. I can't go to that place because there's not a Nando's there. Or whatever it is. I can't, you know, there may be, God may take you to places where you're going to eat different food. And you may even suffer a little bit. But, you know, that boldness of God when it comes upon you is going to cause you to do things that you never thought that you could ever do before. And, yeah, so suck it up. I mean, an injection. Okay. So. That is my phone. Do you know, I think it is. I should just put it on. This actually is a friend of mine from Uganda. He called me this morning. His name is Drani, and he put HRH behind his name, His Royal Highness. He's actually part of the royal family in, or one of the tribes that are part of the royal family in Uganda. So I don't know why he's calling me, but anyway. What's that? Yeah, don't fear. Yeah. So are you ready for God to do extraordinary things for you? I just want to encourage you. You know, when boldness comes upon us, when confidence that our God is with us comes, the reality of that let's take God at his word and step out and do those things. Go to those places or speak to that person or lay your life down in a particular way. Whatever it is that God is challenging us with. But I tell you, when we get into that place of confidence and assurance and boldness and the fear of God, not the fear of man, we will definitely be doing things that we've never done before. Because ultimately, it's about his capacity, his enabling, not ours. If it's all down to us, our world is very, very, very small, very limited. Very small boundaries, very small vision. But God's got something amazing, big for us. Okay, James 5, verse 17. Elijah was a man just like us. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for three and a half years. So just turn to somebody beside you and say, you've got the same spirit in you as he had. Does anybody remember any stories from when they were at Sunday school? What were the stories? Daniel in the lion's den. Awesome. Anybody else? Noah's Ark? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Yeah, anybody else? Cain and Abel, okay. David and Goliath. Good Samaritan, yeah. Woo! Fantastic. Weren't all of these stories, a lot of these stories were stories that created and generated faith. I remember coming out of my Sunday school with a shoebox with fish on a bit of string hanging in it, with and I'd spent weeks colouring the background, and it was like Jonah in the whale, and you know, just amazing how God could bring all of these events about, and then Jonah could fall into the sea, and then a whale could come, and then it encouraged such a faith. To believe that actually God is so much bigger and able to do even more than we can see around us. And we were talking with Amanda about just how amazing it is to be part of the children's work and be able to input into these young people. And that's the value of with the children's work of stirring up faith and sowing seeds into their lives that we serve a God who is more than able, who is powerful and strong and able to do miraculous things. And but that verse there that we're reading, you know, that he had a nature just like us. And David and other people and Jonah and all of these people that we saw God use powerfully, they were just like us. Yet they heard the voice of God and they feared God more than their man or what people would say or just their comfort, and they went and did these extraordinary things because they weren't special people. They were just like us. Are you ready? So this is what could God do through each and every one of us here if we actually took God at his word, when we felt God telling us to step out of our comfort zones and go and do this or go and do that or lay our lives down in this particular way? What could God do with us, with a bold, passionate, devoted people of God? So remember that these people that we read about, they weren't special in some way. They were obedient. They believed God rather than looking at themselves and thinking, I lack in this area, I can't do it. It's amazing. So I've written here, let's not be a church that when we meet, that we say to each other, tone it down. You know, let's not be a church that when we meet says, don't get too excited. You're a bit over the top. Just, wind your neck in. When we meet together, let's not be a church that puts limitations and boundaries on what God can do. Let's not be a church when we meet together that says, let's just play it safe, you know, because maybe God won't come through. You know, the Bible says that when we meet together, we're to encourage one another and we're to stir one another up. We're not supposed to say, well, you know, put boundaries on. Are you understanding what I'm saying? We're to spur one another on for great works that are going to extend and advance the kingdom. We want to create a community, a church of people where we can encourage one another to step out and go and do the exploits of God. And I do truly believe that we can only do that when we fear Him first and foremost. Because that puts everything into perspective, doesn't it? What can man do to me? The worst thing that can happen is that someone could take your life. Oh no, please don't send me to heaven. It's like, isn't it though? Seriously, what's the worst that can happen? Is that we're going to end up where we're going to go anyway. In the presence of God forever. I believe that God wants us to be a church, a community of believers that comes together and encourages one another to step out, be bold, do the things that God's calling us to do, be different, live differently, stand up for what we believe, talk about Jesus, share the truth with people, because how can a faithless, lukewarm church be a witness to a dying world? And how can lukewarm, compromised people see God bring that transformation? And I'm not saying that about you, but you understand what I'm saying. God wants His church to be on fire, full of confidence, full of boldness, full of passion for Him, loving the lost because that's on God's heart. Seeing God do healing and transformation. And it's going to come through a people that are just so hungry, desperate, and dedicated to God. So let's, guys, when we come together, don't speak lack. Don't speak discouraging words. Speak encouragement. Speak life. Speak the words of God over one another. Inspire one another for good works, for what He has for each one of us. Encourage one another and say to one another, so encourage when you meet together, say that there's no difference between you and those heroes of faith. Let's make our gatherings a place of encouragement, a place where people's faith is increased rather than limiting one another to what we, or the negative, or what the enemy is. You know, the enemy, it just does come, doesn't he, to say, well, what happens if God doesn't come through? Or what happens if God doesn't make good on His promises? You need to tell that lie where to go. Because God is faithful, isn't He? Don't listen to the lies of the enemy. 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 11. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. So when we come together, let's be people that encourage one another. It's so important. There's something about having a simple, uncomplicated faith, total trust in God. I remember when you first became a Christian, and you know you were just so excited and you just wanted to go and do the things that you just took. You read the Word of God and said, "Wow, if that's what it says, I want to go and do it." And over time, we can make things so complicated and put this and that. And guys, let's go back to a simple, obedient faith walk. Believing what God says. Otherwise, what are we doing? We're just playing the game. But there's so much that God has for us. Just very, very quickly, I'm going to have to do this in about 2 minutes, Anya. So, just go there. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you're with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. So whether you're actually going through an emotional or physical valley, even though circumstances may tell you to get worried, take a look at yourself and recognize that God is with you. And you know, the God that walks with you has got a rod and a staff. So when your enemies and things come against you, I tell you, I want God with me fighting my battles. I don't want to be fighting my battles on my own, relying on my own strength. God is with me. His rod and his staff, they comfort me. And so God's going to watch over and protect you. And when your enemies come, he's going to set a table up there and you're going to have a party. And all your enemies are going to be looking on going, what is going on? And so whatever your favorite thing is, maybe they'll be laid out and you have a party, a celebration, actually in front of your enemies, knowing that God is your protection. And verse 25, just quickly. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. You know, it's not... you can be the greatest martial art expert, but God's going to be the one that protects you. It's not going to be you giving a karate chop. It's God's rod and staff. It's his presence. It's all about him at the end of the day. It's all about him protecting us, watching over us, and bringing us through. It says that in Psalm 23, verse 6, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever. So I'm going to wrap it up now. Are we living like that? When you're facing difficulties, problems, challenges, things that come, you wake up in the middle of the night, you're fearing this thing or that thing, God wants to encourage you. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. God wants to be so real to us, to give us boldness, to give us confidence, to send us out. Does our life reflect that level of relationship with God and trusting in him? But it's a supernatural response to God.